This week, I've had the pleasure of interviewing John Barron, who is an Alexander teacher, trainer, and innovator for the past 25 years, who was an actor in England doing stage and film until he hurt his back, and now he's become addicted of sorts to Alexander work. And I use the word kind of in jest, but it's like when you find something that really turns you on, mm-hmm. it's like getting away from it is not what's going to happen. It's great to have you back again.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, we talked about what Alexander work is, who wants and needs the work, and today we're going to talk more about the hands-on Alexander work itself and what's involved with it. So what is involved with this form of body work?
Good. Well, that's a great question. And we have to look at the technique as being a skill that really takes, I feel, a long time to acquire, to develop.
You're talking about decades.
I'm talking about decades. Like for myself, I've been doing this 25 years, and I'm still learning. But you know, my colleague Giora, who you
doing
know,
it longer,
right?
Yes.
He's been going for a lot longer than that.
Uh-huh.
And
it's wonderful to have a teacher.
Yeah.
You know who is maybe the best in the world. Joram, and you may be the best in the world at this.
No comment.
Well, no, that's my opinion. I mean, in working with Joram myself, I've been so impressed with who he is as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And so much of what you learn depends on who that person is, what their level of wisdom is, because it's not just about spitting out facts.
Good.
You could read the book of the directions, it'll do you no good at all if you don't know how to apply it.
Yes.
So that's what you're going to tell us about.
Right. Well, with Giora, of course, you see he has great hands-on skills,
yes.
and he's able to communicate those skills and to change a person's way of being or their use.
Mm-hmm.
And so what will happen is that someone will come into the lesson,
uh-huh.
okay, the first lesson. And as I said before, we start to make those observations straight away. We start to see how they will hold the position of the head and the neck, the back, the shoulders, mm-hmm. the lower back, how they'll sit in the chair, you know, what their balance is like. Observe them walk into the studio, what's going on with the feet, etc., where the knees are, and just have that visual understanding. So we have to really develop that as part of our craft, to be able to know how to look at someone and to be able to observe use.
That's easier said than done.
It's a lot easier said,
because it's
yes.
the little things in how someone moves. It's the style of movement. And it's who that person is as
yes.
well that you're observing. So when you observe somebody walk or do whatever they're doing, you're learning more than just about where their pain is or what their physical challenges are.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking through to the deeper psycho-spiritual nature of who they are and then making an assessment of how do I move forward to give this person the gift of whatever it is that they want to mm-hmm. evolve into.
Great. And you know, being able to, you know, to look at their use
mm-hmm.
is as I said, that is a skill. And it's also, incidentally, it's a skill that Alexander really thought that the medical profession would be interested in acquiring.
It should be.
It should be.
It hasn't happened
and
yet.
And it's a blind spot.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there have been many people in the medical profession who've seen this
yes.
Technique or have experienced it themselves, like yourself, and they understand from that it's how helpful it can be and how what an important part of the puzzle is, given that the puzzle really is about holistic connection.
Yeah, well, this may surprise you, but it is movement and how the body, how you carry yourself.
Yes.
For me, is maybe the most important thing that I look at in my practice as a physician.
Fantastic.
So what I'll do is I'll assess somebody, figure out what their problems are. Very often they've got emotional issues, because we all do.
Right.
We all have some amount of post-traumatic stress.
Of course.
And then I will usually find out what they've done to learn about more about who they are. And many patients who come to me, because my practice is those people who have been everywhere else.
Yes.
They will have been to the psychiatrist or the psychologist mm-hmm. or the MFT or some kind of counselor for 5 to 15 years. They know everything about themselves,
mm-hmm.
but they're stuck in their head. And they need another domain of what I call somatic psychotherapy,
mm-hmm.
which is related very much to how they hold themselves and what the core posture muscles are like.
Yes.
And that's the kind of thing that you excel at. And here I am talking about it because I'm so passionate about it, mm-hmm. that it is the single most important thing that I focus on as a physician now. Mm-hmm. Not the biochemistry, not the physiology, right. not the drugs, not the surgery or technology. It's the movement.
But surely that's the gateway.
It you know, surely that,
that's,
is.
That's the way that one has to look in diagnosis. You're looking at the whole person, and then you start to see the detail.
Exactly.
But if you always stay in the specific and never move to the general, you're going to be inherently limited. It can't be any other way. I think, you know, the physicians, the talented physicians, the creative physicians are the people who really do have the knowledge and the information about certain details, etc., mm-hmm. but they can relate it to the whole, see the whole context.
Yeah, well, that's what medicine is about. And I don't mean medicine as drugs. I mean medicine as a spirit of healing,
yes,
like indigenous healing systems.
Yes,
I find that I do the best in helping people when I'm outside my paradigm. I think you must go beyond where your training stopped.
Yes.
And you must include other disciplines to support you, particularly in an era where there's an epidemic of chronic diseases and half of us have one, mm-hmm. and we haven't solved it. So it takes a new kind of thinking.
It does. And if you consider there are so many, you know, new diseases that are being discovered, et cetera, and we're seeing so much in pathology and so much about healthcare and the breakdown in some ways of healthcare. And, you know,
we need another approach.
So much of it is being missed by not being able to, you know, to have this understanding of how nature can heal.
Absolutely. Nature always does the healing.
Yeah, nature does the healing, not the individuals.
The practitioner never does the healing.
Right.
We use tools that sometimes will speed the process.
Exactly.
But you pay a very high price for them, too.
Uh-huh.
So I've become almost a heretic from my own perspective as an internist.
Oh, I'll join your church.
Yeah, well, right. I mean, that's what it takes is people are open-minded who are not determined that their way is the only way.
Yeah.
Because there you get stuck. When you have the wisdom, the willingness to risk moving into territories where you don't know what's happening and you need to trust someone else. Now you're talking about the essence of what I call health medicine, which we've created over the last 15 years into a discipline that's integrative, meaning involving many different disciplines, holistic, person-centered, and preventive. That's the Alexander model.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, you know, the beauty of it, too, is that within this work, you know, we're talking about nature healing, is that when we start to learn what pressures we're putting on ourselves, we can learn to undo them. So it involves very much the individual, or what they call in your world the patient or the student in my world.
I hate that word.
Yeah, okay.
Because it separates you.
It does. And I think that what happens, though, you're talking about this new understanding, the creativity that some of the physicians have in a new way of looking at medicine.
Yes.
I think what's happened from that is that a lot of patients or students are looking at medicine very, very differently. And that is having an effect on the whole culture of medicine. And I think that is such an important movement for good.
It's nice to see us thinking the same way in some ways and thinking differently because we have different backgrounds.
Yeah.
And then when you explore that, you take it to another level of understanding, of education for yourself, of exposure to the person that you're working with a new model. It gives inspiration to all of us. I feel like it's a team. So when you're doing the specifics of your work, the Alexander style of working, you can do it yourself. You can do it in addition to other practitioners. And probably that would be an ideal thing that you could extend your work as an Alexander practitioner as well. How often do you work with other kinds of practitioners?
Well, when I worked in Italy, for instance, I used to work in a studio that had physical therapists and a sports medicine physician.
I see.
And
cool.
And the physical therapist did a form of holistic physical therapy, which was called Messier technique, which is not well known in America, but it's fabulous work. And So we used to, you know, exchange work together. So I work with all of them. They work with me.
Would you do it at the same time ever?
No. I'd need a break. Okay. I need a cup of tea in between.
Sometimes what we do, okay, at the Health Medicine Center is I'll be with a somatic psychotherapist, who's someone who does intuition medicine or hypnotherapy.
Yeah.
And the three of us will work on the patient at the same time.
Hmm.
And it's mostly hands-on stuff, but it's also imagery. I would be very excited to try that with you. And I think you'd be excited to see what happens. It's sort of like another way to look at how we can interconnect what we do, not knowing what we're going to do. And then
That's
unfolds.
Creative.
It is.
It needs to be creative. You have to go into places that you don't know in order to
And
create
something. Yeah, and be willing to do it without an expectation and not really have a clue of what you're going to do.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I'm going to use the spoken word as an image or if I'm going to touch something or if I'm going to support somebody. All those different things that I'm not accustomed because of my training, in the presence of someone who's doing, say, some hypnotherapy, or maybe we're using infrared light at the same time. We've done some amazing things that way, where we use the infrared light as a healing light. It does a lot to relieve pain. And the imagery of what you can get someone to do with their mind, as you do with your work, because you're looking at the emotional, spiritual side of it, is just a godsend to some of these people. Because what you think affects your biochemistry, physiology, and the way you move, and the way you breathe. How about the role of breath in all this?
Well, that's a lot of our work, because you see that if you look at a person's use, what we've talked about so far, they're, we can just take it on that very superficial level, the postural level. Any kind of downward collapse or upward pull interferes with the breathing. Function. So our idea is not to tell people how to breathe. We, in fact, I get away from how to as much as I can.
You show.
Is that you create the conditions whereby the functioning can happen, or nature can just happen. So
there's more to talk about.
There's more to talk about.
Maybe tomorrow. We're speaking with John Barron, Alexander, teacher, trainer, and innovator. You can reach him at 415-289-9646 for either a personal session, for corporate training for to prevent injuries, or if you want to become a trainer, 415-289-9646. Thanks, John.
Hey, thanks, Lynn.